Again, it is my joy to welcome you to our service today. Our theme is Living in Christ. We are continuing our series on Paul's letter to the Philippians. We have seen in our previous sermon last week that Paul is writing while imprisoned in Rome to a congregation in Philippi, a congregation which Paul helped to establish 10 years or so earlier. As we read last week, Paul began his letter with greeting and thanksgiving, which was a traditional way of writing in those days. Again, in that letter, we also saw a heartfelt prayer for the Philippians. Paul prayed for a few things, and one was that he asked the Lord to grant the Philippians abounding love for each other, a love which will be grounded in knowledge and discernment. He prayed that the Philippians will abound in love for God and for one another. He also prayed that the Philippians will be able to approve what is excellent so that they may be pure and blameless on the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is confident, as we read last week, that God has already begun his good work of new creation in them, and that he will see that work through to the day when Jesus will return to make all things new. Now remember that Paul, in writing this, was in prison.
That what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Instead of grumbling, Paul is saying, what has happened to me has happened to me so that the gospel of Jesus will advance. Now, one would wonder why Paul would speak in this way when he should have actually been dwelling in self-pity. But instead of dwelling in self-pity, he says, what has happened to me is not by accident. I do not complain against God. I do not resent against God. What has happened to me, my imprisonment has happened so that the gospel might be preached. The Philippians are understandably concerned about Paul and fear that the worst might happen. They fear that Paul will be put to death while in Rome, and the progress of the gospel will come to a halt. That was their fear. Those were their concerns. But far from impeding the progress of the gospel, Paul says that his imprisonment, rather, served as an advancement to the gospel. I mean, that's incredible. Who would like to speak in this way? William Ramsey, in his book, St. Paul, the Traveler and the Roman Citizen, tells us that within that context in which Paul was in prison, what happened was that a light chain was fastened on Paul's wrist to that of the soldier. So what happened was that as the soldiers would relieve guard in constant succession, maybe 6 hours shift or 12 hours shift, what happened was that Paul would always have his wrist attached to that of a soldier, whether he was sleeping at night, and the whole idea was that Paul would not be able to escape. So with him at all times was always a soldier, a palace soldier. And it's interesting to imagine what kind of conversation was going on during those kind of engagements. So for some of the soldiers, they were able to hear firsthand from Paul the reason for his boldness, his fearlessness, his love for Christ. They were able to come in contact, not just by secondhand information, but so to say, they were hearing from the horse's mouth. And so Paul believed that through this contact, some of the soldiers gave their lives to Christ, and by giving their lives to Christ, they also spoke to their families, spoke to their friends, And that was kind of a chain reaction. So Paul's imprisonment was not the end, but it provided space for advancement of the kingdom of Christ. We might be tempted to grumble about our difficult situations. For Paul, he knew it wasn't about him, but that everything about him, whether he was joyful, whether he was sorrowing, whether he was angry, at all times in his life, everything happened to him for the sake of Christ and for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. So what he did was to make the best of every opportunity he had to speak about Christ's love without a grumbling. In verse 14, Paul offers additional evidence that the gospel is still spreading rapidly despite his imprisonment. That his imprisonment was not an impediment to the progress of God's word. Because of my shame, he says, most of the brothers and sisters in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Scholars agree that a church was established in Rome soon after, and that Paul also had contact with that congregation. Having witnessed Paul's trust in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain the apostle in the midst of his difficulty, the faith of many believers were strengthened and they became even more bold. These believers went on to preach Christ without fear in the city of Rome and even beyond. Now, what is interesting here, before we move on, is the fact that there's a kind of replication of the contact. Now, these soldiers had, you know, personal contact with Paul. I believe they went on to speak to others, they spoke to others, and that is how the gospel continued to spread. And that is how the gospel has actually come to us today in Kaluk. That is how we are now recipients of the Bible. And those of us who are very friendly with history, we know that it wasn't the case centuries ago. But that because people gave their lives for the sake of the gospel, they spoke to another, who spoke to another, who spoke to another, who spoke to another. And that is how today we are now recipients of the gospel. To the Romans, Paul wrote, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Everything works together. When one door closes, it could be that God is waiting to open another door. All things work together for good." Now, as I was preparing for today's service and reading through this scripture, it felt like I was reading it for the first time. I've preached from this few times, but it felt like I was feeling more excited about the insights from this passage. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Once again, in verses 20 to 21, we witness the apostle rejoicing under difficult circumstances. He was to say, "I will rejoice even though I am in chains. I know that that is not the end. I will rejoice because there is hope for eternity." Paul says, "I have confidence in the prayers of the Philippians, and also I draw from the help of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, he said, is able to help me walk through the chains in which I am at the moment. When we ache over the challenges facing our lives or facing those we love, and fear that the situation won't change, we may be tempted to believe that the Lord will not act, or that the Lord is slow, or that the Lord is absent. But we should never underestimate the power of prayer. For our loving God hears our pleas. We don't know how he will move in response to our petitions. But we know that as our Father, he longs for us to embrace his love and to trust in his faithfulness. The reason for Paul seeming unconcerned about his death, whether he was alive or whether he died, is that he is convinced that either way, he was not losing out. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul considers death as gain. Whereas we might be afraid of death, not quite certain that beyond death is Christ's presence. It is far better, Paul tells us. Jesus too reassured his disciples when he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And so with Paul today, we can say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whatever you may be going through today, and whatever any person you know might be going through today, I will invite you to please pray with me. Lord, help me to submit to you and trust you in the midst of my pain. And I'll take this prayer again, and I invite you to pray that prayer with me. Lord, help me to submit to you and trust you in the midst of my pain. Amen.